Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 tonight with just me, Alan Smales. Regular listeners will know that I was in Hong Kong a few weeks ago, so tonight I present another interview that I recorded with Christopher, a Hong Kong-born musician and lyricist whose band, Tai Chi, had a number of cantopop hits during the 1980s. Christopher talks about his younger life growing up in what was then a much simpler Hong Kong, his music, his spooky encounters with the spirit world, a later realisation that he was gay, and his fairly recent involvement in Buddhism. All of the music which I'll play on tonight's program will also be by Christopher. So once again, we've got another great discussion coming up tonight here on Orange Ribbon. So stay with me for the next hour here on Joy 94.9. Welcome to Orange Ribbon. That was the debut single penned by Hong Kong-based guest tonight, Christopher. And I think he told me that he now has something like around about 1,000 works that he's written and accumulated since he first started writing words and music. So, as I mentioned in the introduction, all the music played on tonight's program will be by Christopher, either the words or the music. I met with Christopher in Hong Kong about 4 weeks ago to record the interview that you'll be hearing tonight. Christopher was born and raised in Hong Kong, so I started by asking him about his earliest memories of his childhood in Hong Kong.
In the middle of the 60s, Hong Kong was much simple, smaller town, and the living standard was low. The life was quite tough, but people were happier and they tried hard to earn a living, and each and every one of, for example, we are working class children. We have some homemade industry at home to earn the money to help our families. And yes, I did the same kind of a plastic flower or some kind of simple electric appliances installed, something like that. And what we used to play was just very simple. Just go to the back, to go to the mountain, maybe, and to see the frog, or to play with the other kids and watch the sunset, or go to the park, amusement park, and just simple but beautiful and happier.
Now, we had dinner earlier this evening, and you were mentioning to me over dinner, asked me if I'd been to Macau, and I said I had, but you immediately picked up your ears when I said it was only in the last 18 months or so. You said Macau is totally different now. What do you recall of the Macau from when you were a child?
Okay, first, I've been to Macau first time in 1975. By that time, I went to Macau on the beach, and I do remember that I saw the first whale in the ocean, and it's bringing the water out, and I think it's amazing, and very traditional Portuguese style buildings around there, and the food were delicious and less expensive. But now it's changed. After the handover back to China, everything's changed, and I don't know why they built so many casinos around there, maybe 30 or 40, I never counted, and I can't even recognize the streets or the place where I am, and this was strange. I feel like there's strangers there, and also I remember that this was a hotel called Bella Vista. It was a beautiful place, but it's now sold for only $1 to Portuguese government. I don't know why. Maybe it's kind of a souvenir, and it's closed now, and we can't go there for the high tea or the dinner anymore. But I have a sweet memory there, so I missed it very much.
Now, growing up
in Hong Kong. What sort of hobbies and interests as a child did you have? Now, we'll touch on music shortly because you are a musician, but did you have any other hobbies and or sports that you were involved in as a youngster?
Well, I got various kind of hobbies. For example, I was the chairman of the stamp collecting club, and I used to be a stamp collector, but sadly tell you that it's not a good investment anymore. All the local guys changed their attitude. They're not the stamp collectors. They just like the kind of the guys, the money guys in the stock market. They all just buy all the stamp to wait for the price to be raised, but sorry, no more.
Have you retained your stamp collection, or you disposed of it in later years?
I just keep it at home for my own memory, and I don't care the price anymore because nobody interested in this British Commonwealth version of the stamp now. So I don't know why, but it's a fact.
Now, you mentioned British Commonwealth. Let's touch on that very briefly. What did you as a local Chinese notice, if anything, between pre-1997 and post-1997? Have you noticed as a local any significant or any changes in Hong Kong before and after?
Well, strangely, that I won't deny that Hong Kong used to be belongs to British Commonwealth, and that's why I learned the English since I was 3, and I went to the English class when I was in primary 3. But now, after the handover of the Hong Kong, the student nowadays, even the university graduated student, they don't speak very good English, and they can't even have a good spelling, and just sucks, you know. That I don't know why, but that, strangely, we used to listen to the English songs, so we can learn the English from the songs, or some preposition or grammar or whatever. It's simple, but now the young people, they don't listen to the English songs, so they just interested in the canto pops, and that's why I think they can speak English. They don't have a good standard of English, and it's sad.
I think I may have mentioned to you before, I've certainly noticed the English language, or the lack of English language capabilities of the younger people in Hong Kong, even in the last 10 years. And my understanding is that the Hong Kong government is now re-looking at this whole issue because a lot of younger people are missing out on international opportunities now because of their lack of English. In terms of you as a musician, let's go back to the beginning. When and how did you get interested in music?
Well, since I was a baby, my sister and my cousins, they used to be the go-go girls, the Beatles era by that time. And they brought me to the party, and they played the music, for example, some kind of a Simon Says, Hey Jude, and Satisfactions, and, the big hits there. And I always listened to those songs, and I was interested. So I go with them, and they grew up with me, so naturally I'm into the music.
What instruments did you learn, and what instruments can you play?
Well, actually, I'm not really the musician. I'm a lyricist, I'm a melody writer, but not the composer or arranger. And I can play a bit piano, I can play a bit guitar, a bit bass or drum, but some very basic 4/4 times, or some simple rock, just got the groove or the concept and the music theory, it helps me to interpret my work for the real musician to play at the studio.
You can read and write music, or you don't read and write music?
Well, I can read and write music slowly, not because I'm not really the professional and I'm not the maestro of the music. I just have the basic concept, the key, and how to change the key, the basic chords, the simple chords, something like that, and the melody writing, and I put the words in it with the chords, and then I give it to my partner, and they play for me. But now the computers, for example, the home studios are popular nowadays, so I can make some demo at home first, and then I can send it to the email of my partners, and it's much easier than the early days.
Well, we'll come back in a moment and have a chat about perhaps a bit more detail about your music background. This is Alan Smales. I'm in Hong Kong, and I'm speaking with Christopher.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Alan Smales in Hong Kong, and I'm continuing my discussion with Christopher, who's been a lyricist and musician for a number of years. You mentioned beforehand that your introduction to music. What have you done in those early days? And you were also involved with a band. Tell us a little bit about those early days.
Well, in 1981 or 1982, I met my classmate, and we became very good friends. And after we graduated, he formed a band called Tai Chi, and they made the very first album. Luckily, the album become the big hit. Then I become the professional lyricist and songwriter, and it's changed my life and changed my style. I have to work with the music for the rest of my life, and I'm happy with that.
Now, as a lyricist, presumably you were writing in Chinese, Cantonese, presumably. Were you doing any writing in English, or was it all in, presumably, Cantonese?
Well, mainly I write the cantopops, what is the Cantonese pop, and sometimes I write the Mandarin, but seldom write in English, because there's no market in Hong Kong. Even if you write something in English, nobody cares. So based on the market needs, we try not to write it in English, but mostly in Cantonese.
How long were you working with this band? Would that go on for a long time? And what sort of how many recordings did you do? And were you responsible for most of the lyrics?
Well, I got almost 1,000 works since 1986. And there's many topics and many stories, various kind of it, amongst my works.
But apart from writing for a band, have you done any other interesting music projects, such as movies or something like that? Any other types of projects?
Yes, I took part in the, for example, some animated TV spot for the chocolate, you know, advertisement, and some movie, yes, the local movie, the Hong Kong movie songs, and even the very popular artist singers, for example, Leslie Cheung or Alan Tam or Anita Mui or Sandy Lam, blah 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 blah, yeah. Yeah, I worked with various artists before.
What's the largest audience that would have sat in on some of your works? Have there been some very big concerts or concert hall type concerts here in Hong Kong that you were primarily or majorly responsible for?
Well, first come to mind that many songs that have become the big hits and solid goals that I can't say that one by one, but I'm satisfied with what I have done, and they still perform my works now with some experienced artists. Yeah.
What's life like these days as a musician? Now, you've been telling me off air that things are getting a little bit more difficult now in general in the music industry in Hong Kong. Do you know, or can you tell us how and why it has changed over recent years?
Well, some blames it on the private copies or illegal download, but my point of view is the boss knows nothing, the producer knows nothing about music. They just got the money mind, and what they care about is the money and the marketing. But I think it's popular around the world. It's not the matter of Hong Kong, it's the matter of the world.
Presumably the industry has changed because of the internet as well, so I'm not sure what the solution is to that. Maybe we'll come back and cover that a little bit more. Anyway, this is Orange Ribbon. I'm Alan Smales. I'm in Hong Kong speaking with Christopher.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Alan Smales in Hong Kong, and my guest in this program is Christopher in Hong Kong. Now, we haven't touched on it at the moment, but it's sort of assumed that you are a gay man these days. But you were telling me that you weren't always gay. You went through the whole girlfriend bit. How did that come about? In fact, when did you first realise that perhaps you weren't as straight as you first thought you were?
Well, because I've got many gay friends all these years, but I used to be a straight guy, and I have three times enough with different girls, but I found that it's not my cup of tea. But I didn't realize that I was gay. I'm gay, but once in 1997, I just had an sex with the man accidentally. That I found that I didn't resist it. And I found it interesting. So I found that I'm gay. Yeah. But I don't feel uncomfortable at all. Just think it's just my choice.
Now, does that mean though that you would be under pressure from family to get married, or do you don't have those sorts of family pressures?
Well, it's all because my father passed away for more than 20 years. And then my mother, she's a very open person, but I never coming out. And just, you know, she just let me do whatever I want. And so I never worry about that, just be myself. And I think it's quite good, and just, you know.
What about your former girlfriends? You said you had two or three or whatever it was. Did they ever suspect anything different?
Well, when I was straight, I was a straight guy, I didn't realize I was gay, and I totally into the girls first. But I think it's just different for them, in a kind of world, so maybe a man's from Mars or woman's from Venus, something like that. So they never suspect anything different, because I was really a straight guy by that time.
And you, until your sexual experience that you explained a moment ago, you had no idea prior to that. It was only by this accidental meeting that you had?
Well, because I never, I'm always gays friendly. Even I used to be a straight guy, and I broke up with my last girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend, in 1992. But after 5 years, I tried to find something, someone new. But I don't think anyone is suitable for me, and I just gave it a try for the man, and I just found some men are quite attractive to me, so why not?
Now, since then, have you ever had any regrets? You don't think you would ever go back to having a girlfriend again?
Sorry, no, because I just don't want to take the responsibility. I don't want to have a family or kids think like that, you know. I found that I'm happy to be alone, but not lonely. But I can do whatever I want, whenever I want.
Now, you've sort of answered the next question in a way there just a moment ago. That is, even though you accept that you are now a gay man, even if you were in a relationship, you wouldn't want to have children or adopt children then?
No, maybe. Well, once in a blue moon is okay. For example, if I just babysit a boy or girl for 1 or 2 days, it's okay, but not for a lifetime, you know. It's a burden for me.
Okay, this is Orange Ribbon. I'm Alan Smales in Hong Kong speaking to Christopher.
Diversity is Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is Alan Smales in Hong Kong, and I'm continuing my discussion with Christopher. Now, one of the other interesting things you told me about yourself is that you can deal with the spirit world. Where did that start? At what age did you first become aware that you could liaise with the spirit world?
Well, when I first, at the very beginning, first when I met the spirits, I didn't realize that there's a ghost, any ghost in the world, or yeah, maybe there's ghost in the world, but I didn't realize that ghosts around me. But I just can't explain what's in the air. I just can't see anything different, but I just can feel that something wrong in the air that's make my goose pimples pump up and just feel so uncomfortable.
Now, you mentioned something about the spirits around your house or the mansion or something or other before. Tell me about that.
Okay, well, when I used to live at the mansion on the Hong Kong Island side, and it was a haunted one, but I didn't realize that I met the ghosts or spirits and things like that, but just make me feel uncomfortable and something wrong in the air. And by that time, I just feel so... and. Just one something makes me want to go away, and just I don't have a clue about it. It can be explained, but between me and my cousins that we proved that there's something wrong with it.
And what about the baby spirits? You were I told me before about some illegal abortions.
Okay.
And tell us a little bit about that and the spirits.
Well, one of my uncle, he lives at the same mansion with us, but different flat. And he was an illegal doctor who's worked for the abortion. And we found that there's lots of baby ghosts around us. They just get stuck at the mansion and nowhere to go. They want us to help them, and they always play with us and always play jokes with us. And we found it just can't explain it. So for example, we can hear the party songs outside the living room when we're in the bedroom, but once we open the door, there's nothing outside. But when we close the door again, then the party songs started over again. Or sometimes when I have a shower in the bathroom and there's someone knock my doors, apparently there's no one outside, and that's, we can't explain it. Yeah, so I think the naughty one, they just want to play with us, but you know, it's haunted and spooky.
You told me off air about a situation, I think it was after you had your Buddhist master help you explain some of this. Well, firstly, how did he get involved? And then you told me once about a story of him seeing somebody who out his window who you had been dealing with.
Yeah, I become the Buddhist in 2004. And then I learned some knowledges about the spirit world. And I just had a dream about a girl who was one of my uncle's girlfriends 35 years ago, and she was committed suicide. When I told this to my Buddhist master, and he asked me, is she just a slim girl with long hair and white skin and quite beautiful? And I say yes. And then my Buddhist master told me, well, she's just standing outside the window of mine, but he's live at this 8th floor. And we don't have a clue why she's still here at the beginning. And then my Buddhist master check it out for me. Then a few days later, he told me that she didn't commit suicide. She was murdered, and we found out who was the murderer. And it shocked me, but I never told anyone because it's helpless, useless, and meaningless in our world. So my Buddhist master referred this file to the underworld of the different departments, and the story goes on the other world.
So that means that in dealing with the spirit worlds, you would get to find out certain facts that perhaps even people like the police would not know. How do you deal with finding out these sorts of facts, particularly if it was, say, a more recent murder, for example? What would you do as a Buddhist and dealing with the spirit world? Do you not tell anybody about it, or what should you do?
Well, actually, it's not the business of our world. It's the business of their world. So we just refer this file to the other departments of the underworld. Well, they will chase back to the next life, and it counts. It always counts. So this inspired me that we should be a good person and should be good to your pets, your friends, your relatives, your family, and the world. And yes, it always happens.
Reincarnation, which is something that's particularly relevant to Buddhism, do you know what you were in a previous life?
Yes, frankly speaking, I'm into marijuana, and I just asked my Buddhist master why I'm a smoker, and he explained it to me because in my ex-life, former life, I was a child and I stole the tobacco from the temple, and God punished me and I become the smoker in this life. So I found the answer and I have no regret and I feel comfortable.
Does a Buddhist have any choice about what you come back as next time, or is that totally out of your control?
Well, and depends. If you're really into change your life, yes, you can change your life. But, you know, it's hard to do, and most people, they can't do because there's so many distract you. For example, the fame, the money, the vanity, blah, 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 whatever, that they want to chase after those things, but they're not into those spirit thing or your spirit world. They're just into the material world. So that this, it can be the drag you down or makes you just become the normal person next life, or even you will become an animal, or worse than that.
Mm. For somebody who perhaps is not a Buddhist, but maybe would be interested in the Buddhist religion, where should they go? Now, you probably can't talk about Australia, or maybe you can sort of in a general term, but what would be the first thing that somebody do if they were interested in pursuing Buddhism?
Okay, for example, based on Christian or Catholic or some Western religions believer, what I may suggest is always go to the church and be an honest person. Because it's harder to go to heaven for the Christian standard. It's harder, much harder than the Buddhist. And, well, it's quite beautiful. My Buddhist master told me there's the Western heaven, you know. When you want to see Jesus Christ, you should be a good person. Yeah, because my grandfather, he was a preacher in Macau. I know he's good in heaven now, but some of my uncle, they can't go all the way to the heaven. They just send them back to the world, to our world. So I have to help them move to the other place or area. That can make them feel more comfortable. Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, running out of time, so let's call it quits at that. So, Christopher, thank you very much for having a chat to me.
Oh, thank you, and you're welcome.
That's Orange Ribbon for another week. My thanks to Christopher for his story, for his music, and for taking time out to record tonight's interview a few weeks ago up there in Hong Kong. Coming up next on Joy is the team from The Sports Lounge. Thanks for joining me on Orange Ribbon tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 o'clock next Wednesday, with more insights into our GLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. And thanks to Nick on reception for his help tonight. From me for now, bye-bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.